You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Trade wars are escalating around the world. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We'll analyze the details in a moment, but first, let's do the numbers. Global shares are taking a hit this morning after President Trump, in a tweet last night, unveiled plans for another round of 10% tariffs in September on $300 billion of Chinese goods, including toys and electronics. He said China failed to keep promises to buy more U.S. agricultural products and to regulate sales of the derivatives of the opioid fentanyl. European markets are seeing sharp losses. Germany's DAX is one of the biggest decliners in the region, down 2.5%. That follows heavy selling in Asia overnight. Tokyo's Nikkei and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong both closed down more than 2%, and China's currency slid to its lowest level this year, while global oil prices are bouncing back slightly after yesterday's 8% plunge. Now, on the heels of that tariff announcement, China has said today it will take countermeasures, and that has global manufacturers on edge. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, explains.
It's not good news for global manufacturing. It's been in the doldrums for pretty much all of this year, particularly in Europe. And it's not hard to underestimate, I think, how much this abrupt escalation has caught markets completely unawares. I mean, after the deadlock of the summer and the fact that China and the US have finally decided to sit back down, there was an expectation that we'd see some form of a ceasefire. That doesn't now appear to be likely to happen, and markets are really spooked by that.
Now, Germany has been hit particularly hard. The manufacturing sector there has been in recession all year. How are they going to cope?
I think they're going to find it very difficult to cope. I mean, not only do they have the fact that their manufacturing sector has been in recession for pretty much all of this year, they are very export dependent in terms of their economy. There's also the fact that the Rhine water levels are at their lowest levels in years, and that makes transit very, very difficult in terms of moving goods and services around Germany. So they have a double whammy with respect to that. And I think it's going to make it very, very difficult for the European Central Bank to really do anything to offset this increase in trade tensions.
So, Michael, what can these economies do to protect themselves from these increasing external pressures?
Well, in Europe, I think there needs to be a political will to complement the monetary policy response of the European Central Bank with a fiscal response from the governments. Short of a fiscal response from EU policymakers, it's very, very difficult to really see a way through this.
Michael Hewson there. And Japan has removed South Korea from a preferential trading list. It's a serious escalation between the two Asian giants. Martin Schultz is a senior research fellow at the Fujitsu Research Institute.
It is a major problem because it hits the supply side of industries who are already affected by demand side concerns, where prices have been going up because of the US-China dispute, plus the two partners who could be effective in mediating between the US and China. And now it is reverse heated debates between Japan and Korea, while the US and China are not in a position to calm them down.
Well, let's talk about what this means for the region, because we're already seeing weakness on exports in South Korea.
This dispute comes at the worst of times. We already have the trade confrontation between China and the US. We have a slowdown in Asia. We have a slowdown in China. And now we have a dispute that is not just hitting the demand side, but comes from the supply side. We're two of the most important partners who are producing core ingredients that will be used across industries are in a deep political dispute that has an impact on, well, the supply of key products.
Yeah, you mentioned electronics, computer chips. That's surely going to have an impact globally?
This absolutely has an impact globally, not immediately. It first hits the chip industry, not just in Korea. It is also slowing down in Japan and also in China. But after that, the impact will be on any industry that is using chips for RAM, chips for their production, meaning basically everybody.
Martin Schulz in Tokyo. Cognac, the brandy that comes from a specific region of France, has seen a boom in demand from American hip-hop and rap fans, who are now amongst its biggest buyers. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson reports. I need a one dance,
got a Hennessy in my hand. Last year, nearly 98% of cognac was exported, and by far the biggest market is the USA. And in large part, the industry has got American rap and hip-hop music to thank.
The ultimate cognac theme song was Busta Rhymes and Pharrell and Diddy with Passive of RCA.
Candace McDuffie is a music journalist from Boston.
Kanye was infamously drinking Hennessy at the MTV 2009 Video Music Awards right before he interrupted Taylor Swift and had that whole controversy surrounding him. It's really been a staple in the black community, and I think it's important to remember that rap, music, and hip-hop was always about black struggle, and Hennessy is so important to black people because of their connections to us historically, right? During the time where segregation was still legal, they hired a black marketing vice president, which was huge.
At the recent cognac show in London, I met Dawn Davis, head buyer at the Whiskey Exchange.
Cognac in itself, sort of 5 years ago, was very static as a category. There was no innovation, there was no kind of drive. They were very much looking outside of the European market. So now I think what we're seeing is the houses are really starting to open their eyes and try new things.
And in the hallowed vineyards of cognac, revolution is in the air.
I am Alexandre Gabriel, owner and master blender at Maison Ferrand, making Cognac Ferrand. In cognac right now, there is a soft revolution. Cognac legally right now has to be aged only in oak barrels. I've gone another way, making barrels in a chestnut tree. Now you think I'm crazy. It's delicious, but by law, I cannot call it cognac. Regulation needs to be evolving.
And maybe if he succeeds, cognac will be able to revive its European fortunes. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
And happy Friday, folks. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.